call the order of the common council meeting for October 18th. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor is excused. Alderman Olson?
Here.
Alderman Solomon?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here, and I will be voting as an alderman.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderman Skronsky?
Here.
Pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first item on the agenda is citizen comment period. Is anybody in the audience wishing to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I don't recall, speaking of B2A, I don't recall ever complimenting and giving credit to the DPW. I come to a lot of meetings, and I would like to say that they do a good job in everything they do that I know of. And so I think this is long overdue, and I congratulate them for the good jobs that they do for Franklin.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody in the audience wishing to speak during citizen comment period? No one wishing to speak? I'll close citizen comment period. We have item B2A, which is announcements from Mayor Taylor of upcoming community events and news items. We have item A, recognition of Highway Superintendent Schaefer and Department of Public Works on paving of City Hall and Fire Department parking lots. Madam Clerk, Jack?
Just a comment on that. Our assistant engineer, Ron Romeis, did the design. Pass the credit. I didn't do the design. He did the design. I think he did a very good job. We had quite a challenge. At first, we wanted to change the design from the original. The original was having all the water run down the center. But as we got into it, it was extremely difficult because the gutters are all designed to go into the center. So Ron spent quite a time trying to come up with a design that we could actually change that. So we ended up not really being able to do that without a horrendous cost. So we ended up keeping the design, but then we did have Public Works put in a whole new drainage system. We're picking up the drainage underground so it doesn't run over. Because there was quite a river downstairs when we had a rain to try to get to your cars. It was pretty wet. So it was kind of a challenge for our crews, and they I have to agree with the mayor. They did it. Jerry did a nice, excellent job. Ron did an excellent job. Ronnie in our office that staked it out and surveyed it. It was a team effort all the way around. And the credit doesn't come to me. It comes to my staff that have done the work. So.
You were actually gone for some of this.
I was in China for part of this. I got out while they were doing most of the work.
Right. Any other comments? Alderman Salomon?
I just have to say that I saw Ronnie out there more than once working with the crew, doing sightings, especially the gas main out here that's buried in the middle of the parking lot, and they had to put a manhole in. So they all did a fantastic job.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I think it's great that we recognize our staff when they do something that's a little out of the ordinary. This is what they do for a living, by the way. So, although this was a difficult project, it was great. Maybe next month, next meeting, we ought to congratulate the city clerk on doing her agendas and director of administration for doing what he does. So I just think this is great. We either don't do it enough or we do it too much, one or the other. To isolate it is not a fair thing to the rest of our staff.
Well, I didn't put it on the agenda, but I'm sure if you want to ask the mayor why he did, you could probably pick up the phone.
Well,
and
they did a great job. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But so did Chief Oliva and his staff when they came up with a sex offender that moved into town that didn't belong here. Mm-hmm. They took care of it. It's their job. So good job, Chief.
You don't have to say anything.
Okay.
Anybody else? Alderman Schmidt?
Yes, I would like to congratulate him because obviously this is something like it was been, 40 years since the original park model. So. And it was a major undertaking with everything that was involved, so and nothing else. It enhances the appearance of the whole city administration. I've heard complaints from people, and saying, "My God, when is Franklin ever going to get that parking lot fixed. So I think it's a good for the overall image of the city for all the work that we did.
Okay. Anything further? All right, we're moving on. Item C, approval of minutes. We have a motion.
Second.
Is that as corrected?
Yes, it's corrected. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We have no public hearings. Item E, organizational business, boards and commission appointments. We have Daniel Andries for the Environmental Commission, Alderman 6th District. Ken?
Yes, I'd make a motion to approve his appointment.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Madam Clerk, please take the
roll.
I
have a question.
Oh, Alderman Lam.
I just want to know that I did call him to ask him what his qualifications are, and he said zip. So, but after further discussion with him, he did say he would be willing to put in a lot of effort. But my question is, the term ends in 2014. Is there a shorter term we could put someone in that has absolutely no qualifications and then a longer term?
Madam Clerk?
Yes, the resignation of Mary Jane Ingersoll, her term will expire April of 2012. There is a vacancy, and I had a loss for the other person's name, had earlier resigned. There's a vacancy that currently exists to 2013, along with this one for 2014. So there are three. There's a 12, 13, and 14.
Well, with that, it seems to me it makes sense to put them in a shorter term for now. They can always be reappointed. So they don't have any experience, not only in the city, but in that particular where they're being appointed. So.
Well, basically, the way I look at it is, here's a person that is wanting to serve the community. Maybe he's going to have to learn on the job. You were very experienced on that committee, so maybe you can give him some pointers and some history in that.
I think you would be able to move to another committee sooner if his committee term came up and then he looked at the reappointment, if that's his goal.
I mean, he's lived here for 40 years, and the mayor makes the appointments, and the common council can vote to approve or deny, and that's what we have before us today.
Okay. I don't have any questions. There's times that we have people that want to serve. They get into a position and they learn along with it, and they become a great credit to the commission. Not everybody gets on a commission that knows everything and all things. Mm-hmm. So, and if there's anybody that says they do, please stand up.
Alderman Olson.
Well, yeah. Here we go again, right? Qualifications, interest level. You know, if you have no qualifications and you're not interested, although you want to serve, how does that make you really excited about doing a job on the commission? And we have that experience.
Yeah.
You know, but right here, he's a human resources man. What's the matter with the personnel?
Maybe he didn't check it. I understand.
Every one of them. So, yeah, you know, I hesitate to vote against the guy because he's expressed an interest in serving. But, you know, at some point, have we heard this before? You've got to appoint qualified individuals to boards and commissions that have a technical bent to them. And the Environmental Commission has a technical bent to it. Got to be a technical person. You know, I'd love to have this guy on a board or commission, but.
Well, I'd like to.
Wait, let me.
That's it, thanks.
I would suggest to make a motion that we just amend the date for the shorter term and approval. I guess the city attorney has a procedure on that.
Mr. City Attorney?
Within the agenda packet, the term for expiry is 2014, so I don't think that's available on this particular agenda. And there are some statutory provisions which might apply here this evening based on the council's discussion. One of those, which I did not double check, is if an appointee is rejected in any way, shape, or form, that appointee is no longer available for that position. So one thought would be if it only relates to the term of office, that somebody make that clear in a motion that it only applies to the term. And number two, under 62.11 sub 3, B, in part that statutory subsection provides, a majority of all the members shall be necessary to a confirmation, which means four folds.
Honor Schmidt.
Well, as a member of the Environmental Commission, or remnants thereof, we had another member, Demi Carls, who resigned a few months ago. I have another member who's been MIA, I think, who's made one appearance. Two or three times I've seen her since I've been on the commission. She's not been around. So that has created a real dilemma in maintaining a quorum. And then Mary Jane announced her resignation last month. So, in effect, right now we stand at three official members. And I know I'm checking with Jody in the clerk's office, going through the files, there were very few people that were prepared to step forward in the last year or two that wanted to serve on the environmental. So we have someone who is, whether don't have specific environmental qualifications, I think we're fortunate someone is willing to serve at this point.
Alderman Olson.
2 points. One is, sometimes you got to go out and recruit your members. There was a nice event this past weekend with the Friends of Franklin Parks, cutting down a buckthorn here. Get a list of those people and ask them if they'd like to participate. That might be a good thing. At least they have an interest. Then I would suggest that perhaps the motion get withdrawn and move to the table until the next meeting. The mayor can consider our comments and make an appropriate, if he wants to re-up for the 14 or the shorter one, or do something different than he could, but it wouldn't be fair to this person to either deny them or appoint them to a commission that may not have any real interest.
Alderman Wilhelm, no, yes, no.
Well, I don't really care which way you want to go on this. My point was just to make it known that there was no qualifications or, in fact, he was not even really sure if he was getting appointed, so I guess I just wonder why we do that, and there's a reason why we can't get qualified people. It's because every person that served with me on it left out of frustration. And when we don't respect what qualified people have to say, then we end up with people on the committee that are less qualified, and that's probably all you're ever going to get, and that's probably what the intent here is. So, you know, maybe we just approve them and move on. I don't see anybody that really wants to put qualified people on there anyway.
Alderman Skansky and then the city attorney.
Apparently he does have an interest in it. Maybe something that he's going to work himself into and look at it. I don't know. I left a message for him, and I did not talk to him personally, but I asked him, and he must have had something on the list that he wants to sit on that committee. So if he has an interest in order to apply for it, I would give him a shot and see how he does. And let's face it, not everybody does good on commissions, as we may all want to expect them to be. It still is a learning ground. I think when everybody ran for this office as an alderman, they didn't have all the experience in the world to run for it. So you can put yourself in that same position, too. So I would call for the question.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just that the other statutory section I referenced is 62.09 sub D, quote, an appointee by the mayor requiring to be confirmed by the council who shall be rejected by the council shall be ineligible for appointment to the same office for 1 year thereafter. And if there are concerns along those lines, suggested by Alderman Olson that postpone until the next meeting.
We have a motion to call the question. Is there a second, Mr. City Attorney?
Yes.
Is there a second? No second. No motion fails for a lack of second. All I would add is that you don't have people banging on the doors to serve on this commission or this committee. You have a commission that is not what it once was in terms of their responsibilities to the city. maybe what needs to happen is we need to look at whether or not we need to revamp this committee, change it up, give them a different direction, because we keep on, even by adding one, that's still really not enough to be very productive. Is there staff time that's being used on this?
Or disbanded.
Right, or disbanded, and that has been discussed before. So we do have a motion on the floor. Alderman Skronsky, would you like to proceed with that, or would you care to table this and then look at other options?
No, I think it would be unjust. He did put his application in for it. I would leave it up to my fellow colleagues. I feel that he did have an interest when he put his application in, and I would like to proceed with it and ask for the vote.
Madam Clerk, please take the vote up. Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
I just want to say that, you know, I will support this, but I felt it was important that this council know exactly, you know, how these appointments are being made and the qualifications, and that this should be paid more attention to, especially given that there was an option for a shorter term where someone could have been tried out and that wasn't even presented to us. So, you know, I thought the guy was really honest with me on the phone, and he felt, you know, he gave me some answers. I specifically asked him to give me an answer that made me feel comfortable with the support. And I think he did attempt to do that and said he would try his best and would learn. And so we'll give him a shot, and if it doesn't work, then there's other options.
Alderman Olson.
Well, he didn't specifically, although he checked it, he checked every other commissioner in the city, too. Mm-hmm. So he didn't specifically apply for environmental commission. So, you know, out of respect for this guy, I'm going to vote for him, but I'll tell you what, don't come crying to me. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's been happening for the last 10 years. We just put people on boards and commissions without any regard to whether they're qualified or interested. Then we've got issues with that board or commission. Then we have this conversation that says, let's disband. No, let's put the right people on boards and commissions.
Well, I did comment that maybe sometimes they look at the direction of a committee. I mean, it did change from when Alderman Wilhelm was there. They had a lot more responsibilities. And that being said, you know, this body should always look at different boards and commissions to make sure they're being productive. And if they're not, then make the necessary changes. I don't disagree with you, Alderman Olson, that, you know, you need to have the right people put on boards and commissions, but you also need to find, and I agree that you also, about going out and recruiting people. And, you know, when we had a board review position open in your district, it was a very long time during a reval year where that seat was empty, which put a heavy tax on those other members. So don't forget that also. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I don't know what Board of Review's got to do with this. But the second thing is I think we're putting out a statement here, an impression that Mary Jo Ingersoll didn't do a good job. She did a phenomenal job.
Yes, she
did. What she did.
She did.
And that commission was focused. They did what they were supposed to do by ordinance, and we had some issues there with some of the people that appointed. Here we go again. We vote aye.
Alderman Salmon?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky?
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
Under item G, reports and recommendations. Item number one, ordinance to amend the municipal code as it pertains to the carrying of concealed weapons within the city and certain city buildings. Chief Oliva, Inspector Hahn.
Good evening. In front of you, there's a draft proposed ordinance pertaining to the new carry concealed weapon law. I suggest you maybe look at it in two parts. There's two areas that are covered in the one ordinance, and you may want to split your decision on how you handle this. But taking the first part is the request, a strong recommendation to adopt some city ordinances to cover specific forfeiture-related violations of the new law. There's a number of violations of the new law that call for forfeiture only. There's a problem with enforcement of forfeiture crimes in general across the state. These type of crimes, police cannot make an arrest. A district attorney will not issue charges. What they are, basically, are civil matters. And in order to enforce a forfeiture violation in the state, you have to basically file a lawsuit. So, and in discussions with the district attorney, they are not prepared to proceed in that way for these types of violations. So we are asking for city ordinances to cover those specific violations that right now just have forfeitures as penalties. And that's the basic request of the first part of the ordinance. The second part is gives you the option to decide at this point if you want city buildings posted, no weapons or not. The Milwaukee County Chiefs Association did make a recommendation to the ICC saying that we more or less prefer that city buildings are posted, specifically City Hall and the library. But I can say, personally, it's not a strong recommendation. I think there are good arguments, legitimate arguments, for not posting of city buildings. One being liability issues. The law calls for immunity from liability for any property that is not posted. So there's some issues there. And then there's the arguments, again, about what's safer, having a sign posted and having only the bad guys have guns versus everybody having guns. And there's that issue, that argument. Again, I believe there's arguments for both. And I believe it really comes down to a comfort issue. You know, what are you comfortable with? Your elected officials, you have to spend time here, deal with the public. You know our staff in the city. You know, what do you think is acceptable? I know that the librarian would extremely like to have the library posted. I could see her arguments, the fact that there's children in there, and she's concerned about the atmosphere it would create if people came in with guns. So I told her I would raise that concern. But I believe that it's really... it's your decision. It's a comfort level decision. You know, do you want the buildings posted or not? And it's something you have to decide.
Arnold Wilhelm.
Could you give a couple of examples about the problem with forfeitures that you were talking about?
Well, again, so this has always been an issue in the state statutes. There's a number of crimes, again, not just dealing with carrying a concealed weapon. A number of crimes that are just forfeiture related. And again, it's always been an issue with us that you can't make a summary arrest for a forfeiture crime. You can't just arrest somebody if they're violating that. It's a fine only. And the district attorney, again, will not charge somebody with a crime because it's not a crime. It's a forfeiture, just a fine. And the process to enforce that for the district attorney is basically they have to file a civil lawsuit against the person. And a lot of these forfeitures, and especially in this case, are very nominal, $25 fines in a couple of cases. So, again, it makes it practically unenforceable. Now, I will say there is a bill pending in the state right now asking for that to be changed, asking for law enforcement to have the ability to actually make summary arrests for forfeiture violations. So that is out there, and that may make this... this case moot, but I think it's still a good idea to proceed because, again, even if we do get the eventual authority to make arrests for forfeiture violations, it's always good to have the option of citing for municipal ordinances because on many occasions, as it is right now, we will take state charges to district attorney, and many times they make the choice not to prosecute, and then many times we will then follow up with the city citation for that violation. And this would give us that option no matter what the state does. But again, the way the law is written now and with the violations for several of these violations, we wouldn't be able to enforce them at all at this point.
Okay. You saw the letter that we've gotten from a concerned constituent regarding us adopting this. From what I see from what we're adopting, we're basically changing our current law. law and adopting what the state has with this provision of a few buildings, which the state law already allows us to have that. In fact, it has some of the statements where it says, however, federal laws also prohibit firearms in certain parks and wildlife refuges, centers, government offices. The law also does not allow concealed carry of other weapons. So there are, in the state statutes alone, there are restrictions on buildings. Is that correct?
The law specifically names certain buildings that are prohibited by state law.
And the tavern being?
No, taverns are allowed to have people. Police departments, municipal courts, jail facilities, mental health facilities, schools are basically the buildings that are exempt by law. Everybody else, every other private property owner or public property owner, like the city, has the option to either post their building, no weapons, or not.
Let's go back to the taverns. It says no one may possess a handgun in a tavern unless they are a lawful enforcement officer, a correctional officer in the line of duty, or a member of the U.S. Armed Forces or a National Guard in the line of duty. A private security person meeting certain criteria, a tavern's licensee, owner, manager, or an authorized employer or agent. Oh, it says, or have a license.
Or
so you can
license.
With a license.
Right.
That's the last part.
Alderman Skronsky.
Chief, I just have a couple of questions. If this ordinance is adopted, does this make this building any safer?
That would be all, I think, hypothetical. I think for every scenario or hypothetical case, you could come where someone, the good guy having a gun, would make the situation safer. You could probably find a scenario where it could make it unsafe. So I think over time we'll tell how this plays out. I can tell you that I believe in 6 months to a year we're going to get used to it. It's not going to be that big of a concern. But again, I think there's instances where not allowing guns would maybe prevent something from happening, and maybe in another case it might create a problem. I don't know. It's all conjecture at that point.
I would think at that point, if there's, with the ordinance as it would say, you put a 5x7 sign up on the door, if somebody has that much intent, the sign on the door is not going to make any difference to them. Would I be correct in that?
I agree with you there.
And if that would be the case, would, in order to do that, in order to secure a building or buildings, you would have to have a law enforcement officer at the door or a detector to find out if somebody's carrying anything, like the airports. I don't feel this would be any safer to protect the constituents by enforcing this ordinance. There are other communities that have not enforced this. It's no difference than having the drunken drive law that is out there. And that hasn't done anything different to stop people from driving drunken. This has not stopped people from doing things just because there's a ruling or an ordinance there from doing something that they shouldn't be doing. This is just another, I think, another way of not giving the residents or person a right that he has underneath the Second Amendment to be comfortable with it. Whether someone wears one or has one or not doesn't make him any more a distraught or a person of not common sense. Most of these things that do happen are people that are either in a rage or mentally deranged at some place. But the law-abiding person that would be in there would not hurt anything or do anything. And I'd like to hear comments from the rest of the my fellow aldermen up here. But I, in strong belief, and being very involved with the Hunter Safety Program, the state of Wisconsin, the over 1,000 people that we put through have never had any accident. From a 12-year-old to a grandpa, grandma, aunt, uncle, and have, I think, supported the right of the individual. Thank you.
Alderman Solomon and Alderman Olson.
Two questions. You talked about the liability issue. Once you put up no guns allowed, the city then becomes responsible to be sure that nobody has a gun in the premises?
No. I can't answer the total liability issue. All I've heard some non-paid legal opinion on that, but nothing in depth. You probably want to look into that. If you know, you might want to look into it more in depth. But from what I was told, I mean, the immunity is pretty clear if you don't post. But the immunity lost because you do post, it's not automatic. It's not like you automatically give up your defense for anything that happens in the building just because it's posted no weapons. I think that's something you might want to explore. Mark, you were going to look into.
I do have a little bit more on that from a risk management perspective. If you post it, then you do gain some liability, but we don't lose our $50,000 cap that's in the state statutes. And I believe our insurance policies would continue to provide us with its normal coverages. We continue to have prohibition of punitive damages for torts and immunity from suit intentional acts of employees. So the regular municipal protections, limits on liability are still there. But if we do post, then there would be an expectation that as the director responsible for facilities, I would then put together a policy to distribute to all employees so that they knew what would be our steps of carrying out enforcement, so that if somebody were identified to have a gun or a weapon in violation, how we were going to handle it, because the expectation of posting is that you then enforce that. And we probably look to have that out within about, you know, at most 2 months, because I understand from the chief that the department, the state isn't going to start reviewing applications for concealed carry permits for 60 days after November 1st.
They will not start taking applications November 1st, and they do have 45 days to process those at first, and then starting December, they have 21 days to process. But starting November 1st, out-of-state people with permits can carry immediately.
There could be some limited application, but as long as we were still timely in preparing a policy, distributing and informing employees of the building on what steps we could do, and I would probably consult with the police department in developing that policy.
My next question, Chief, is alluded to your first part of your statement in regards to what is a misdemeanor, so to speak, with just the fine of $25. What does this ordinance do to change that?
It won't change it much. We won't be able to increase that fine any more than the forfeiture, because we can't make an ordinance that's more restrictive than the state law. So the fines for those will still be $25. We can add court costs. It's something to be able to enforce that provision as opposed to nothing. So it's still not a huge fine.
But this wouldn't encompass anything except if they'd come into a building that was posted.
The ordinances, that's one ordinance we're asking to cover the ignoring of the posted sign. The other one is for, the other two basically are permit related, where a person does not produce the permit when it's lawfully asked for, or the person's not carrying the permit when they're carrying their weapon.
What is section 1, item A, item 1, sub A, small A, relating to transporting of bows and firearms? What does that have to do with
That has nothing to do with handguns. That basically relates to the carrying of long guns, rifles, and bows and arrows. There was some question regarding the enforcement with the new carry and conceal weapon law. And again, this is another forfeiture-related offense, and the statutes that I'd like to see added to our ordinances so we have, again, some coverage and an ability to at least give a city citation as opposed to nothing for someone carrying a rifle or shotgun.
But you can carry them in your trunk without any trouble, correct?
That's correct. Yeah,
you still, want them in the car.
You don't want them in the passenger car and loaded.
Okay, thank That's you. It. Item B, then, is related to the carrying display of concealed carry licenses. That means that you have to have a license on you.
You have to have a license on you.
Concealed.
Right. And then even with the city citation here, or the ordinance if we pass it, if you pass it, someone carrying a weapon who has a license but doesn't have it on them can be cited, but they have 48 hours to produce it, okay. And that ticket will be released.
Taillight
violation. Yeah. Similar. Releasable ticket.
Okay.
The next one is similar, but it's just for, it specifically addresses out-of-state former law enforcement okay. officers, because there was a specific law section that talked about that and talked about it being a forfeiture, so we included that in. The D is the trespass or the ignoring of the posted sign. That forfeiture, I believe, can go up to $1,000. So that one is a little higher than the rest.
So if I'm carrying a concealed weapon and I happen to go on private property, a business, etc.?
That's posted.
That's posted. I can't go in the building with that gun.
Right.
Correct? As long as it's posted.
As long as it's posted, prominently posted.
But if it's not posted, I can still have my gun in the car in the parking lot.
Even if it's posted, you can have your gun in the parking.
Correct.
You can't go into the building. If it's not posted at all, you can walk in with your gun.
Okay.
But now, again, I don't want to get too deep into this, because this, I tell you, there's a lot to this law, a lot of things. But a property owner does not have to have the building posted. If you walk in, it's not posted, and they say, you're carrying a gun? And you say, yeah, I got my gun with me. I don't allow guns in here. Orally, they can do it. Or they can say, here, I got a policy. It's on my piece of paper here. It says no guns. Leave your gun out. That's notice. As long as he gives you notice, you have to leave your gun.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
All right.
I have a problem with item E.
Okay. You want to tell me what the problem is, or you want me to explain?
My problem is there's a lot of houses and residents that are closer than 1,000 feet to a school.
Yeah, there wouldn't be an enforcement for someone living next. Number one, let me clarify this, because the law eliminated the 1,000 feet of a school carrying a gun for permit holders. So if you're a permit holder, there is no violation for being 1,000 feet of a school.
Okay.
If you don't have a permit, you could be cited for being within 1,000 feet of the school.
Okay, what if I got a shotgun and I'm out in the,
backyard?
I throw it in the trunk of the car. I'm 1,000 feet within the.
We're not gonna cite you.
Okay.
That. I mean, there's got to be some common sense here. And if, okay. Let's say, a rogue officer would do something that would conflict, I doubt if you'd be, it's my opinion, I doubt if you'd be held liable for something.
Okay.
There was some discussion on that because, there's a number of conflicts in the law. For example, the law allows for employees, people, to leave their guns in their cars in parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
But it's against the law to have guns on school grounds, permits or not. So we're trying to find out what trumps what. Does the allowance for employees to keep their guns in their car for teachers trump the fact you can't have guns on school grounds? So there's a question that's being pursued.
I know it was discussed at length, and they really haven't resolved it. What happens when I go to a football game or a basketball game and I've got a permit and I leave it in the car?
That's fine. Public street, parking lot, you can do that. That leads another to other issues, I think.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of cars with guns in it.
Yeah.
It's another issue. But there's a lot of things that aren't answered yet that we'll have to wait and see. I guess looking at the bigger picture, looking at long term, we are now the 49th state that has some form of carry and conceal weapon. Everybody has gone through this growing pains or this concern. You talk to anybody that's had it for a while, I think people just get used to it. It's out there. There's not going to be a lot of problems. I don't anticipate a lot of problems here. Majority of people that are going to get permits are going to be law-abiding, normal people, and we're not going to have issues. I think we have to have ordinances in place, and we have the laws in place, like for anything, for that small percentage of the people that don't want to follow the rules. That's all it's for. It's not for average citizen of Franklin. It's not going to affect people.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you. I appreciate what Alderman Skronsky had to say. He's got experience in this. I don't. I'm not a gun person. I own one. Last time I shot one was in 1982 with the desert in Arizona, and I couldn't hit the broadside of a cactus to save my life. So, you know, I have no experience in this, but I do have an opinion that, well, the Second Amendment is there for purpose. I appreciate trying to be proactive in this, but I would support this ordinance, Section 1 only, and not support Section 2.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, there's a few things that aren't spelled out to me tonight for me to really feel comfortable about my vote, and one of them was some of the things you talked about, liability. All I have is a few things that you said. I don't have anything from any insurance company. I don't have any of that information. I also don't have before me the employee policy you're talking about putting in place, which might have an effect on how I might feel about this as well. So, personally, I think the police chief is recommending this. It's probably a sound practice. It's fine. I don't really see issues. But also, my thought is to table this until the meeting of October 31st to allow for the city attorney and the police chief and the director of administration to provide a written determination about the insurance liability details, allow for constituent input, the people that might not know this is before us, since others know in the audience, and also to get the employee policy prior to the vote on the resolution.
Second for that motion? No second. Motion fails for lack of second. Anything else on the wall?
Well, I guess if everyone seems to know what the employee policy is on and everything they're going to vote on this prior to reading all of that, they must have a bigger crystal ball that's a lot clearer than me. So I guess I'll defer to my colleagues who happen to know the future.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I have my hand up. But Doug, if you want to say a word, because I'd like to say something after you.
Alderman Schmidt?
Well, I myself am not a proponent of guns concealed anywhere, but I know a kid that I grew up with at a very young age was cleaning his shotgun in his farmhouse and accidentally shot his mother to death at a very young age. So, that was a farm family. They're out in the country, and I understand, you know, the use of guns for hunting and stuff, but you never know when they're loaded. As far as changing this, I think I'm concerned if they start putting the signs in the public buildings, such as the library, that suddenly it's the notion. What's the gun notion in your thoughts as opposed to just carrying on the way it is right now? So I don't know that having that as a viable option is. It's not going to change. The people who are going to cause mayhem are not going to worry whether or not they got their permit or if there's a sign posted that they're going to leave their gun outside, they want to come in here and do something. I don't know which one of us is going to be getting into a shootout with them. It won't be me. I'll be ducking under the desk.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's comments, but for years being involved in weapons and hunter safety course and things of that nature, we've never had an accident. Not saying that you can't have it, but I think it's I think you create more of a hysteria by doing it, because everybody becomes more sensitive. Until now, nothing happens. Not saying you can't, but it's I really don't think it's necessary, and I would like to make the motion not to adopt this ordinance that is presented with us here tonight in G1.
Are you, Alderman Skronsky, are you in favor of Section 1 but not Section 2?
Both sections.
You're against both sections?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second for Alderman Skronsky's motion?
I'll second it for discussion.
Under discussion, Alderman Salmon and Alderman Molson.
I do believe that this may be premature. I would probably look to postpone this for a while until some of these issues that the chief has brought up are researched, and we get an opinion, obviously, from the state as to how some of this stuff needs to be adopted in the future. I don't think that there's any rush to do this at this time. I think I've kept up with the hearings and with the law and the interpretations in the newspaper, but I do understand, and I agree with the chief, there are some issues that really not been resolved yet, and I do believe those need to be resolved as we move forward. And I think, as he said, there's many states that have done this. There's a lot of expertise out there. We don't have to create the wheel here. I would agree with Alderman Skronsky. Sometimes it's best to just leave it alone. I like what Doug said too, is, you know, all of a sudden there's a sign in the front door, no guns allowed in municipal buildings. And I realize the state law says you got to post it to make it active, but I'd have no problem with the city buildings. I have no problem with the library. By statute, you can't go into the police or fire stations with guns. It's just the city buildings and the library that we would be involved with in the community, and also in private business that would want to put up a sign.
Alder Olson?
Well, this is not a heartburn issue for me. If we did nothing, I'd be okay. If we passed this, I would not be happy. But I would urge my colleagues to rethink in support of Section 1. Section 1 gives our police department the ability to have our ordinances comply with the state ordinance, with the state statute, and gives them the ability to make an arrest, a ticket, someone who violates the clauses. I don't support Section 2, so I respectfully ask my colleagues to take a look at this and move to approve Section 1, but not Section 2.
Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to separating the sections from this ordinance, just the way it reads, if the only concern or the only preference would be to adopt Section 1, say the motion should be to direct staff to return at the next council meeting with a Section 1 ordinance, because in context, currently it speaks of weapons within city buildings, and all by itself, somebody might say that in that context
Kaczynski.
Yeah, I've talked to the governor's office about this, and there are areas that I've had a lot of concern about as far as the education. There should be a minimum of 4 hours of education with anybody that would have or consider a concealed carry. There are people that are doing it maybe just because of the fashion that it's happening, and they have no idea of what the responsibility of the weapon, the caliber, what it does once you draw it, the total responsibility of that, and to just carry this for a fashion, no. That may subside real quick after responsibility is noted, because there is a lot. Once you draw that weapon, there is a total amount of responsibility to it. And it's very clear about it. But that's going to be so extreme case that would happen. But education is prominent. It has to be without question, and that's what the next session that's going to come out on this. It's just necessary. There's no other way that somebody should procure a firearm, carry it, without education. It's no different than driving a car. That's a weapon in itself. That again is my comment. I guess I'm very strong about not having it, but I would be more than glad to work with my colleagues on the issue and look at it. But I'm still very much opposed to any restriction of carrying a firearm.
Well, the mayor who normally sits in this chair always will weigh in on these types of issues, so I might as well do the same thing. I support option or section one. I think that needs to be a part of it. I think we have to give our police department the tools necessary to deal with this change in state statute. In terms of section two, I don't support posting a sign or not allowing firearms in both in public buildings, which is mainly City Hall and library. It comes down to the fact that people that are the lawbreakers, they are going to do what they want, and we never know. I mean, how many times could somebody have been carrying a gun in here? We don't know. We don't know who is doing that. We've seen on in the news. We've seen school board incidents where someone shot at school board members. We saw in Missouri a few years back where aldermen and mayor, a couple were killed, I believe. When you get some crackpots that sit in the audience, I think we need to realize that you cannot control what people are going to do, what the bad guys are going to do. The chief summed it up very well when he mentioned that we establish laws for a very small percentage of the population. And, I think most of the people that are in this room are law abiders at all times. And there's always going to be a few that are not. And maybe if the bad guys don't know that who up here is carrying, they'll think twice before shooting. There is a little button underneath this table, but the response time will not be as quick as us pulling something out, I would imagine. So I will not support the motion as it stands. I would support if we brought something back in 2 weeks with just section one, and that is all I have to say on this matter.
Thank you, Acting Council President Schmidt. So for the city attorney, if I may, Mr. Council President, if we vote support Alderman Skronsky's motion here, that does not preclude you from bringing back a revised ordinance in a couple of weeks, does it?
Mr. City Attorney?
I don't believe so, but it would be cleaner if the ordinance were specifically to direct the city attorney to prepare and return for the first meeting in November or its day before committee of the whole draft of the ordinance, which only includes section one for the council.
I'll go along with it.
So are you withdrawing your motion and
withdraw
your second?
Do
you have a new motion, Robin Skronsky?
My motion would be, as the city attorney explained, and for him to go back to staff and city attorney to present it at the November 1 meeting.
Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
All right. Alderman Wilhelm had her hand up first, and then Alderman Solomon.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to have this properly written the way that, you know, a lot of us have said that we'd rather see it or something, but I just want to make a clarification that this has nothing to do with, you know, who personally shoots a gun here and who personally, you know, has had safety training and all that. This has to do with the community as a whole. You know, I qualified to shoot an M16. I grew up with 22, but I'm not comfortable carrying a handgun around with me. One thing, I probably set it off so I'm reaching into my purse or something, you know, by accident. So I have a hard enough time with my cell phone. So
you're correct. Ain't going
any further. You're correct with that one.
Right. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to have the city attorney take another look at this and. Watch out, there's a camera behind
you. He needs
protection.
Watch out for that cell phone, Chief.
But I have to, on the other hand, I have to tell you that I am a pretty good shot when I can use it.
Alderman Solomon.
As a person who's grown up with guns all my life and hunted it, I concur with Alderman Skoronsky. I realize it was politically motivated by the proponents of concealed carry, which I am a proponent of. But the four-hour class to me was not long enough. It should have been at least a multiple-day, eight-hour class where people had time to use their noodle. And when one does all of those classes and you pull that gun on somebody, you better be ready to use it. Because if you're not, you're going to get your head blown off real quick. It's not, you know, my dad always told me, you don't take a knife to a gunfight. It's something that you have a huge responsibility. I don't care if it's out deer hunting with a 30-06. I don't care if it's carrying a 357 Magnum, you know, in your pocket or in a holster. It's a huge, huge responsibility. So as we move forward, I hope the state can come up with the laws that are necessary to make this work and work in a safe manner for all of the citizens of the state.
Alderman Olson, then Alderman Skoronsky, and I think we should be ready for a vote.
As I understand the motion, my colleagues, it does not express our support for concealed carry. It just focuses the ordinance on the legislative matter. So if we wanted to send a message that we are in support of concealed carry or did not choose to limit the guns in the city property, this resolution or this motion did not do that. So it depends on what you want to do politically.
Well, I guess,
I'm okay with it either.
I guess for me politically, I thought for sure that there would be a packed house. We got emails. I think there were some saying that we may see some from the NRA here watching our votes very closely. That didn't happen. So I think, you know, there's a lot of talk out there, which is pretty normal. Alderman Skoronsky.
No, even in the hunter safety course that we do there, we had 8 weeks of two-hour sessions. But that covered the gamut from learning a weapon, learning how to shoot, learning how to clean your game, how to shoot a bow, how to be a good sportsman out there, how to talk to the landowner. So it had a mirror of many things. And it's education. But again, education only goes so far until you get to the point where a person could go through the course and then just doesn't use common sense. But you can't legislate common sense when it comes down to things of that nature, the same as you can in other things. So it's the individual that has to take responsibility for what he does and how he conducts himself. So I appreciate my colleagues on all their comments.
All right. We have a motion on the floor, and we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item 2.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number two, change in healthcare network used as in-network for City of Franklin employees and retirees. Mr. Liberta. We have a motion on the floor. Approved. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Six zip.
Good job, Mark.
Okay, now
nice
we have
presentation.
Now we have item three, acquisition of easements, rights, and interest in property for location, extension, installation, and maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities to provide sanitary sewer service to the southwest area of the City of Franklin by way of Rhine Creek Interceptor sewer installation upon property in the area from the intersection of South 60th Street West and West Rhine Road, generally following the Rhine Creek, to the intersection of West Rhine Road and South 112th Street, thence westerly along West Rhine Road to the west city limits upon the following two properties identified by acquisition map, parcel number, tax key number, and address respectively as follows. Number 121.894-9999-001 and 9733 West Rhine Road. And number 240.894-9999-004 and 9733 West Rhine Road. The council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85, Parem 1, Parem E, to consider the terms and negotiations of the public acquisition of easement for public sanitary sewer service for the extension of the Rhine Creek Interceptor Sewer Project for competitive and bargaining reasons, and re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it seems appropriate. And I'll ask for that motion, please.
A motion to authorize the purchase of the subject.
No, no. I'm asking if we have a motion to go into the closed session.
No.
No, it isn't.
I'm going to make the motion to the
Mr. City Attorney.
Staff states that there is a need to enter closed session for the reasons set forth in the closed motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to go into closed session. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, roll call, please.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Oh, you. We are back in open session now. I have a motion I want to read and see if there is someone that will make this motion. The motion to authorize the purchase of the easement rights for parcels 21. Jack. Motion to authorize the purchase of the easement rights for parcels 21 and 40 for public sanitary sewer service for the extension of the Rhine Creek Interceptor Sewer Project pursuant to the terms discussed in closed session. And that if such terms are not agreed to within the time discussed in closed session, to hereby authorize the public acquisition of such easement rights pursuant to the issuance of a jurisdictional offer and its subsequent process pursuant to those terms authorized by the Common Council at its meeting on September 20th, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-2-1. We have under miscellaneous permits, a license and permits, Alderman Solomon.
The same, hold for appearance, Ambritz approved, Baker approved, Hamilton hold for appearance. Jackie's approve with a letter. Ramey approve. Rasul hold for appearance. Winkowski approve. Winkowski approve. Temporary Class B for St. Martin's approve. Temporary Entertainment approve. And temporary Class B license for Christian Woman from St. Martin's approve.
We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Alderman Olson.
You guys want the best Vietnamese food, egg rolls,
that's
where you go.
Yeah.
They serve them at the St. Martin's Fair, and they're outstanding.
We get them every, 2 weeks?
Yeah, next week they're serving them.
Really?
Yeah.
On this date?
No, they're at after Mass.
After
they have
church.
Yeah.
Oh. For those of us.
8:30 and 10:30, you can. They have them out there. Great. All right, remind me. I'll be there. We have a motion on the floor and a second. No more further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Under vouchers and payroll, motion approving net city vouchers in the range of 140267 through 140421 in the amount of $677,525.17.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm. Alderman Sohn.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Yep.
Motion carries 6-0. Approval as requested for the net payroll of October 7, 2011, the amount of $340,277.20.
Sure.
So moved. We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson. Alderman Sohn. Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries 6-0. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.